Welcome to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Martellaro, and this week my guest is John Uppendahl, the Vice President of Communications at Parallels. John, good afternoon. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
I wanted to interview you. You're one of my earliest guests because, first of all, Parallels has been one of my favorite companies for years. I just love what you guys do. And you've been a great liaison over the years, every year introducing me to the new version of Parallels Desktop for the Mac. So I thought it'd be fun to interview you and fun for the listeners to get to know you better and the company better.
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah. So for those few in the audience who may not know exactly what Parallels Desktop is and your company, tell the listeners about Parallels and Parallels Desktop.
Yeah, well, the company's been around for more than a decade, and in 2006, days after Bootcamp was launched, when Intel chips started to be used in Macs, we launched Parallels Desktop for Mac, which was the world's first solution enabling you to simultaneously run Windows and Mac applications at the same time, copy and paste between them without having to reboot your computer like you do in Bootcamp. And since then, it's evolved greatly with a number of different features, including one called Coherence, which lets you make Windows operating system invisible in the background, yet you can use any Windows app in the Mac OS X environment, have it on your dock, your launch pad, use Mac gestures, just making it a very seamless experience. And not only do we let you run Windows, we let you run multiple flavors of Windows, from Windows XP to Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, to other operating systems like Chrome OS, Ubuntu, Android x86. And what it's really become is no longer about Mac versus PC. In today's world, you can use whatever you love the most. If you love Windows, use it all day long. If you love OS X, use it all day long. But if you can't run the other operating system and applications and meet people where they're at, then you're going to miss out on business opportunities, deals, jobs, promotions. And it's just great that today, now you can do everything on one computer, a Mac.
You know, they say, what's the best computer to run Windows on? A MacBook.
Yeah, in fact, it's funny you mentioned that. I recall seeing over the last year two major media publications, actually PC publications, that wanted to find out what's the fastest PC. And they each independently did all these tests, and both of them separately concluded the MacBook Pro.
Yeah. The other thing that I like about Parallels Desktop is that even though OS X is the first and number one in my heart, I do enjoy running Fedora and Ubuntu from time to time. My wife is a college professor, and she does a lot of work in Linux, and we're always talking about that, and she's running CentOS, actually, at her college.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's got CentOS and Fedora running, and I think she even had Red Hat, a commercial version of Red Hat, running for a while. And it's really neat to be able to, you know, with a big screen, be able to run these different operating systems all at the same time, share the information back and forth. It just makes your Mac so useful and so cool, especially in a research environment where you may have to switch over to Linux and do some, you know, connections to supercomputers and other stuff like that. So I think that's really cool. That's why I like Parallels so much.
Well, thanks. And even for, you know, and absolutely for power users, that's certainly true. And, you know, even for everyday users, I recently visited my son at college, and we were meeting in like a cafeteria area, and it's like every single computer I saw was a Mac. And one of the things that I get from people, you know, from Mac users actually, is, well, why do I need Windows applications? And it turns out that today our more than 5 million customers currently run more than 20 to 30,000 different Windows applications.
So now, you catalog that? I mean, you have a way of
we have
logging it in Parallels that kind of sends you notices?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we have a customer experience program that mm-hmm. customers can opt into, which lets us know the applications they're using, how things are performing, so we can continually, you know, make stuff better. Excellent. And that's where we came across that data is from our a subset of our 5 million customers. And it turns out that there's, you know, a lot of different reasons people run Windows. For many, it's Internet Explorer. For others, it's financial programs like Quicken and QuickBooks, or proprietary applications that your business may have that need to run on XP or 7, and you need to be able to, you know, to run those.
And you can run those Windows apps right out of your dock on the Mac, and you can run them without your Windows desktop. So yeah. So you got this Windows app, and it's just sitting there in your dock. You click it, and you just run it, and there you go.
Well, and what it really comes down to, again, and we've seen this more today from, you know, around the world, that people just want to run the apps that they need, and they don't care. They want to be able to use the hardware that they use, and they don't care really beyond that. And that's where Parallels Desktop for Mac is kind of magical, because we break down all the barriers.
Yep.
And as you pointed out, you know, Mac users who love Mac, where a Windows environment would be a strange land, well, they can run Windows and the applications they need without having to see the OS. Plus, for the first time in history with Parallels Desktop 11 for Mac, we've brought a Windows feature to the Mac, Cortana. And as you know, Siri is not available on the Mac as personal assistant, but when you have Windows 10 on the Mac with Parallels Desktop, you can say, you know, hey Cortana, open Safari.
Or is your feedback mechanism telling you that a lot of people are using Cortana?
I don't have data on that yet, but I can tell you that it was amazing. The headlines and the buzz and the people excited about it, from influentials and experts such as yourself to just everyday people. It's like, wow. And what's interesting is then they would say things like, well, that'll be cool, because now Siri and Cortana, whenever Siri comes to the Mac, they kind of compete against each other, which ought to make them both better.
All right. So this is the overview section where we get to tell the people about this really cool product. Now I want to get into a different part of the program where we get to know you a little better.
Yeah. So John, before I do, mm-hmm. if I could say one thing, I realize there are probably some Windows users out there, or people who have both Macs and PCs. The great thing about Parallels is it lets you experience computing the way you want to. And we talked about how that becomes seamless for a Mac user, but maybe you're a Windows user and you need to switch to Mac and you're fearful that you're going to have to leave your Windows things behind. Well, the great news is you don't. Our wizard can automatically move your entire PC, the operating systems, all of its applications to your Mac, and so you can have everything in one place.
That's another reason why this app is so cool.
And you don't have to go find all your software keys and software that you lost and have to repurchase stuff you already bought. It makes it that easy, and then when it's done, it says, do you want the experience to be like a Mac or a PC? And if you say PC, well, we launch Windows full screen for you. And if you're not looking at the hardware, it looks and behaves exactly like Windows on a PC, except it runs faster and really nice on that flash drive. And you can just swipe to go to Mac and swipe to go back to Windows. And so, just something for your audience to think about as they explore new technologies.
We can see why the listeners can also see why you're the vice president of communications. I have been having a good time with you for years, learning about each version of Parallels as it comes out. And you've been a great communicator for Parallels, and we appreciate that.
Well, that's so kind of you. Thanks.
So since I've got you on the program, you know, I want to hear a little bit about you, John.
What would you like to know?
Well, I hear about your career and your background and how that led up to you joining Parallels. Tell us a little bit about your former career.
Well, my former career's been – I've been at Parallels for almost 6 years now. And I really love this company because there's just incredibly passionate, smart people who really care and focus on making the best possible products and keep innovating and creating new things that make them even better. So that makes it fun for me. And that it's a global company. I mean, just we have offices in 17 countries around the world.
Did you hit the ground running as a VP, or did you have a VP position at a previous?
I've been previously VPs of other companies, from classmates.com to SVP of marketing and communications at rivals.com to VP at Humongous Entertainment, which was then I was overseeing communications and online business development.
How did you get to be such a good speaker? I mean, you're so articulate and so precise and careful.
Well, you're really kind. I have no idea. I guess just practice.
Did you study debate or logic or rhetoric in college
plenty of people would say that I'm illogical, so that wouldn't work.
I think it comes down
to passion. And, you know, for me, that's been the key. I've left jobs and companies before because there was changes in direction and I didn't believe in it. And, you know, and that's really why, you know, I'm here. And before I got in, my other fun thing was launching Starwave for Paul Allen on the PR agency side. And for those of you who don't know, they birthed Satchel Sports, which became ESPN.com, as well as Mr. Showbiz and a variety of other CD-ROMs, interactive CDs with Sting, Peter Gabriel, Clint Eastwood, and the Muppets. And that I really enjoyed because before I got into technology in the mid-90s, I was in the music business, an entertainment business representing
I think that explains a lot.
Clients from the Grammy Awards to launching Boys to Men and working with Stevie Wonder and on Van Halen and other stuff like that.
Once you're involved in music and once you're in front of people like that, you just automatically get tuned into being a great presenter and being articulate and embracing people. Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's a strong similarity between, I think, the music or entertainment industry and the technology industry is that from the artists who create the music and the code, they're exactly that. They're artists and they're, you know, trying new things and doing new things that ultimately resonate and help with people. And so it's fun to work with people and see them as they struggle through the creation process to make things better and better. And then it's always, you know, gratifying when the world receives that well and really appreciates it and enjoys it.
I've been following your company. Ben Rudolph, I think, was your predecessor.
Correct.
And I spent years with him at meetings at Macworld. And I've been watching the product evolve over the years, getting faster and more features. I wanted to ask you, so what are the trends? You know, we're watching the evolution of OS X and seeing the features that Apple's been adding to it. In parallel with that, pardon the pun, what are you seeing and paying most attention to with respect to your customers and how they use their virtual machines and how the Apple environment is sort of affecting your strategy?
Yeah, well, we're seeing a number of things. And, you know, I think from a trend perspective, I mean, I think many of us remember the Mac guy and the PC guy ads. Remember kind of the PC guy and the Mac guy that got so much
play? John Hodgman and...
Yeah. Brilliant yes. Advertising, very funny. People laughed at it and resonated with it. But it's evolved a lot since then. Again, people used to kind of identify, well, are you a PC or are you a Mac type user? And they weren't really comprehending about why do you don't have to choose. You know, don't limit yourself like that. And that's what it's evolved to with people wanting to run, you know, whatever application they need. And so we've seen a huge growth in the need and use for desktop virtualization. One example I can give you that's still true today is, well, first of all, there's a brand new office for Mac out, as many of you know, and it does a great job of filling many of the previous gaps between Office for Mac and Office for Windows. And at least historically, say, if somebody asked you to create a pivot table chart in Excel, if you had Office for Mac, you couldn't do it. That was only a feature of Windows.
Right.
And the reality is, everyday people do not upgrade Office suites as soon as they come out, because that's kind of a bigger ticket piece of software, and what you had before is good enough. And so that gets back to this true example I hear from people all the time, is their company, business, or a project they're working on, they've invested weeks in creating this really important PowerPoint. In fact, it's so important that they're getting help from somebody else, maybe an advertising agency or a friend that's going to pretty up the graphics and add in some market research or other things like that. They put time into it, send it back, and then only then do you discover that one of you is using the Windows version of PowerPoint, the other was using the Mac version.
That's going away now, isn't it?
It blew up the formatting.
They're getting to be more in sync, aren't they?
They are, but the reality is most people haven't switched to the new version yet. And this is merely one example of software compatibility in terms of features. And traditionally, the Windows applications have been more feature-rich.
Right, so you get to switch over to the Microsoft Windows version of Office and run your PowerPoint right on your Mac screen and just dissolve that incompatibility issue.
But for trends, there's even more dissolving going on now. And the words we use to describe it are cross-platform. And what Parallels focuses on is cross-platform solutions that let you do whatever you need on any device. I mean, one of the other products that, if anybody listening has an Android phone or tablet, or an iPhone, or an iPad, or a Kindle Fire, you can go to Google Play or the iTunes App Store and download a free one-week trial of Parallels Access. And that's a mobile app that's good for use on an unlimited number of mobile devices and up to 5 PCs or Macs. And what's magical about it, and unlike any other remote access before, instead of accessing your computer where your desktop is shrunken down to your device screen and it wants a keyboard and mouse that you don't have, Parallels Access amplifies everything on your computer, every application, and makes it available in native touch gestures like it was designed for your tablet or phone. And so you can zoom, scroll. If you're highlighting a text on an Apple, it's with pins. If it's on Android, it's with blue triangles.
That's a very clever piece of software about it.
Yeah. And so the thing I can say is just check it out. But again, that gives you access to do things you couldn't before. For example, when is AutoCAD coming to mobile devices? Not anytime soon, because it's a heavy graphics program that really requires, extra processors, extra RAM, and graphics cards. Well, we give you that today.
Have you tested it on a Mac Pro?
I have not myself, but I have talked.
I mean, an iPad Pro. Sorry.
Yeah. And
iPad Pro.
But I haven't had a chance to try the iPad Pro yet. But the great thing is that's going to work equally well on a regular iPad, because all the heavy processing is done on your remote PC or Mac. Nice. And we're just moving the bits of pictures and the UI commands coming through touch. And so it gives you a seamless native experience. I mean, like, there's Photoshop.
I'm surprised you don't have an iPad Pro by now to do some testing.
It's on my list. So there are people who do. I'm just not one of them yet. But even programs, say, like Photoshop, very common. There is a Photoshop app out there, but it has a fraction of the features of what Photoshop has on your computer, which is probably where you're storing all your photos or on an attached external drive. And being able to access the full featured product with native touch is a game-changing experience.
That's an amazing experience. I suggest everybody try that out. How do you get access, and how much does it cost?
You go to the iTunes App Store or Google Play Store and just search Parallels Access. Download it. You get a 1 week free trial. And then if you decide to purchase a year's subscription, it's $19.99 per year. And that's good for using on an unlimited number of mobile devices and connecting up to 5 PCs or Macs. And what's nice is, you know, again, it goes wherever you do. I talk to, you know, traveling marketing, sales executives, attorneys who are like delighted about this because they used to have to try to haul 3 different computers when they'd go to any meeting. Now they just bring their mobile tablet and everything's at their fingertips.
Well, speaking of development, what's it like working with Apple these days compared to maybe 6 years ago when you joined? I'm always curious about the evolving developer relationships with Apple and the evolving security of OS X. Have there been any changes? And for example, El Capitan introduces system integrity protection where there's certain system files that are not accessible anymore. Has that created a headache or was that just a non-event for Parallels 11?
I can't speak to that particular technology, but what I can tell you is, you know, just during the past almost 6 years that I've been with Parallels, I've seen just an incredibly strong and deep integration in partnership with Apple as well as Microsoft and other players in the industry.
Do you meet with Apple people regularly or only at WWDC?
I don't personally, but our development team and Apple's team meets regularly, or even things like when Apple was redesigning all of their stores with the simplified white look, and they've been removing more and more software, box software, out of their stores.
How do you feel about that? Did you have to redesign your box?
No, we had the opportunity. First of all, Parallels Desktop for Mac is the only desktop virtualization solution that Apple sells in their retail stores worldwide. In fact, it's one of, I think, only about 3 pieces of box software Apple sells in their stores. I think they sell Office for Mac, Parallels Desktop for Mac, and then maybe a financial or some other type of a program.
Yeah, I remember the old days when Steve Jobs first introduced the stores. Remember, he was talking to the developers and saw Fireside Talk, and he says, "You build more software, we'll build more shelves."
And they were very pleased to be there, and that Apple sees the importance of making it easy for Windows users to come over or for people to use some of the things that they need that aren't on OS.
That's really important that Apple supports that and works with you and Microsoft and promotes the idea that, you know, to get your job done as a businessman, you want a MacBook Pro? Great. You want to run Windows on your MacBook Pro? Great. Here's the solution.
And in fact, when they were redesigning the stores, they came to us in advance and asked us to redesign our box. And so if you go into an Apple store, that's the only place you can purchase Parallels Desktop for Mac.
Was it a headache?
In the white box.
To do the redesign, or was it just easy?
No. It was fun and it was an honor because, you know, our values and just the quality user experience and having everything fit and flow naturally is so native to us.
You didn't feel like it was fun. Detracting from your brand or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Cool. Because I always wonder about that. I suspect there are some developers who feel like, well, you know, we have our brand and we have our design and we have our colors and we'd like to, you know, respect Apple, to respect our diversity and showcase that in their stores. And then there's Apple's view, and so
And in this case, they did. I mean, they respect our brand and our colors, and we try and, you know, we collaborate on what their needs are, and, you know, sort of co-create together in terms of a new package that represents their need. Both of our brands, really.
When you gave the presentation to me for Parallels Desktop 11, you mentioned that Microsoft has not yet agreed to make Windows 10 available inside it as an installer. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to that? Have prospects for that improved, or do you know anything?
What I can tell you, for those of you who don't know, In a previous edition of Parallels Desktop for Mac, back in the days of Windows 7, our wizard enabled you to purchase any flavor of Windows from within our product and download it and have it automatically installed and set up from you. When Windows 8 came out, there were no ISOs, and things had changed a little bit, and so Microsoft didn't support that. And with Windows 10, that hasn't changed yet. We are, you know, we actively talk with Microsoft about many things, including this, and it's something that we, you know, hope to bring back, and because it's always good to make it easier for, you know, customers to do what they need to do, and so yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I hope that changes. Good luck with that. That must be really nice to be able to buy Parallels 11 and then just, you know, go in there and just install Windows 10 as a virtual machine and be up and running. That would be great.
Yeah, and in the meantime, though, we've done some other things. We came out with a new edition this year, Parallels Desktop for Mac Pro Edition. And it's an annual subscription that really brings together some additional features that really benefit developers and power users, such as integration with key tools such as Docker, Visual Studio plugin, Chef and Jenkins, support for Vagrant and other tools, and, you know, all sorts of advanced features.
What is that Chef and Jenkins thing? I saw that on the PowerPoint slides. I had not been exposed to it.
They're popular. I'm not a developer, so I can't speak to that specifically, but Chef and Jenkins are popular developers' tools. And so our integration with them makes it easier for developers to do what they need to do. But one of the other things we've done in the Pro Edition is we partnered with the Modern IE team at Microsoft. And in our wizard, under there are you can go under the Modern IE link and download basically any flavor of Windows, from Windows 10 with Microsoft Edge, going all the way back to, you know, Windows XP, perhaps.
So what are the limits
on
that version?
That's a 30-day trial that is not upgradable, but it makes it it's an easy way for developers to create environments they need to test different web browsers or different software and do so safely to make sure that they can work well with the variety of customers that are running different operating systems.
So I got a jackpot question for you now.
Okay.
What were the mega hits throughout the years in Parallels, the features that just stood out as a signpost of your success? Coherence has got to be one of them.
I think coherence, right? Well, I guess they would probably say just doing it in the first place was number one, because that made it possible to run Windows and Mac operating systems and applications at the same time, where before you couldn't do it, you couldn't copy and paste between them. And so I think you take that away, you know, that would be very painful for a lot of people. But then certainly coherence, and the ability to, on the fly, change your user experience to whatever you prefer. From being the Mac user that only sees a Mac environment but can access all of the Windows applications with native Mac gestures, so you don't have to like change behaviors and, oh, I scroll one way but it goes the other. Things, in fact, I would say too, in terms of coherence, that is how about 80% of our customers choose to run Parallels Desktop. You know, and then many like Windows mode with just the full screen Windows because that's what they do the most. And, you know, personally, I started out doing window mode for many years, and then I just recently switched to coherence, and now I like that better. And that happens to a lot of people as well. They're tastes for what they want evolve as they become more familiar.
Right. So what would you say the percentage is of people who run a Linux operating system in Parallels Desktop?
Windows probably, is certain, go
probably
ahead.
Probably 90% Windows, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that I would probably say probably even more. But, you know, I think basically anybody who uses our product is almost, you know, 100% used for running Windows without rebooting, and then other operating systems to lesser extent. And things like Linux would be, you know, quite small in comparison. But that's, you know, just another feature, you know, possibility that we offer. And last time I checked, Parallels, the company, is one of the top 10 contributors to the Linux kernel. And so, you know, we have deep technological ties and collaborations with many partners.
Do you find that a lot of your customers are running Windows on a PC who install Parallels to run another operating system besides Windows? We're not talking about Macs anymore.
We used to have an application that would let you run other Windows operating systems on Windows. But what we found is just an incredibly small market need for it. Mm. Because if you're running Windows, you're running Windows. And so you probably, you may or may not need other flavors. For most parts, you're fine. And if you're developing where you need to run multiple flavors of operating systems, you also need to run OS X. But
you're not licensed to run Windows,
right?
And then have 10 as a virtual machine because doesn't allow.
Apple does not allow OS X to run on any hardware except Apple.
But
it's illegal. There are people that do it. It's called Hackintosh.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
But what you can do is you
can run, say, with Parallels 11 on your Mac and El Capitan, and have a Yosemite virtual machine running if you want.
Yeah. And you can have other flavors of OS X virtual machines running, as well as a copy of El Capitan, but also any flavor of Windows, because it's okay to virtualize Windows on a Mac. And so what that means is Mac is the only hardware that lets you run all operating systems on it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Apple
has the best hardware. Mac Pros and their MacBook Pros are beautiful and they're awesome. And then, like you said, to be able to run all these different operating systems on one platform with gorgeous hardware is just the cat's meow, actually.
And I think that it's worth mentioning too, one of the incorrect rumors that I hear often or from time to time from people is, well, Macs are more expensive. And that is not true. If you spec out the computer so it's got the same hard drive, the same processors, the same X, Y, and Z core components, they're comparably priced, and often you can find the Mac for less money. And then the thing is, yes, can you go find a $400 or a $600 PC? Yes, but it won't have the same processing power. It's not going to last as long.
Right. It's one of those race to the bottom machines that has serious compromises.
I mean, in fact, one of the trends we're seeing, some of the big ones include IBM's recent announcement. And as your listeners may recall, you know, IBM created the ThinkPad computer for Windows. Well, IBM this year just announced a partnership with Apple, to help businesses adopt Apple into the enterprise. Subsequently, IBM announced that this year alone they were going to purchase 50,000 Macs. And then it was leaked and documented that IBM is going to purchase up to 200,000 Macs this year.
Wow.
And IBM has 400,000 employees.
Right.
And so that's a huge statement from, you know, kind of a Windows company, so to speak, on the importance of this. And one of the recent outcomes I read about that was that they found that, and loosely speaking, and please check the facts, but their Windows PCs, about 40% require IT support with issues and problems, compared to 4% of Mac users. And with this influx of Macs, they've seen this difference real time, which has dramatically saved them costs in IT support, which they're able to, you know, restructure and reallocate.
Yeah, and we've been telling people that for years, that, you know, IT managers know that. So we're just about out of time. I wanted to ask you, was there anything that you'd like to tell the listeners that we forgot to cover? Didn't have time to cover? Just
yeah,
kind of
two
wrap things up here.
Sure. Two things briefly. One, you mentioned, you know, IT managers at companies, and I don't think it's any secret. Any IT manager that's been raised on Windows is running Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager, really doesn't want to deal with any other operating system, no matter what it is. But they have to now because there's so many Macs coming into the workplace, and any unmanaged device, whether it's a Mac or a PC or a tablet, is an attack vector for their network. And so what we came out with is Parallels Mac Management for Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager. And it's this little $30 per computer per year plugin that these Windows IT guys can plug into their System Center infrastructure, instantly see and manage the Macs without having to buy a whole nother infrastructure and train people, saving them tons of money. Mm-hmm. And then if they're in that type of environment, those Mac users are going to need to run Windows. And while they can add on Parallels Desktop for Mac Business Edition, and now through that same single pane of glass and System Center software, not only can the IT person manage Macs, they can shit roll out any flavor of Windows and other virtual machines they want without having to touch the computers, saving them a ton of money.
I'm glad you had you on the show because you've introduced us to a wealth and breadth of information that people don't normally get exposed to, both you know, for personal use, business and education and science, and for enterprise use. I mean, there's just so much out there that people don't read about in the normal course of things. And I wanted to thank you for exposing us to all these things.
Yeah. If we have time, I have one more thing I can share with you briefly, but if not,
just a little bit of time left.
Okay. For the Mac management information, you can go to parallels.com/Mac management. There's another product that I think is going to be one of the most exciting and biggest products in the history of our company. It's Parallels Remote Application Server. And you can learn more at parallels.com/RAS as in Remote Application Server. And what it is, instead of having to get a big infrastructure like Citrix to try to manage or virtualize for all these devices, it's a $300 perpetual license server you download, minimum 15 concurrent user seats at $100 per year, but then you create virtual Windows desktops and applications on your network data center or cloud, push out an email to all of your employees, and they can install a client on their PC, their Mac, their Chromebook, their Android and iOS tablets, even BlackBerry Pi, and run the Windows applications off the network from anywhere so they can truly be mobile. And so it's a super cost-effective way for IT departments who struggle just to support PCs, let alone Macs, to be able to let their employees use any of their devices. And again, this gets back to the cross-platform reality that we're talking about, is that's what people are needing more and more today.
Listeners, this is why I like Parallels so much. They do all these cool things and they're really fun to work with. John, I want to thank you for telling us about all these things. And I really appreciate your insights and telling us all about these products. It's been a whole lot of fun. Thanks again for being on the show. And thank you, listeners, for coming by and listening to Background Mode.